Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding, and I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's episode, we have one of my favorite guests, Jerry Branum. We haven't talked to Jerry since the beginning of the year, and so I thought I would give him a call and catch up with him, see how he's doing with this coronavirus thing. I know we post a lot on Facebook about the challenges he's going through, training at home and things like that. So I thought I'd give Jerry a call. I sort of had a topic in mind where I wanted to talk about some of the most iconic bodybuilding photos in the history of bodybuilding. You know, now that the magazines are gone, we used to always, when we read the magazines when I was younger, we used to always look at certain photos as real iconic photos. So I had this idea to talk to Jerry about that, so it ended up being a two-hour conversation. So this is part one of our interview with Jerry Branum, and we did talk a little bit about the photos, but we got into a lot of other things also. Jerry was talking about his training, how he's been training at home, and working out with the bands, and different techniques for training the calves, which I thought was pretty important, so I left that into the interview. And then we got into the discussion about like what type of training is really the most important for building muscle. Now, Jerry's been around the sport for over 50 years, and he has his newsletter called Applied Metabolics. And in his newsletter, Jerry talks about all the clinical trials, all the new data that's out there with research and everything as far as training, as far as nutrition. And then he also applies, of course, his knowledge in bodybuilding, his over 50, I think he's been training for 56 years of experience in the gym training and what he knows to work. So it's really the great combination of research and practical knowledge. So we talked about what type of training builds muscle the best, because some people say if you train to failure, even if it's with light weights, you're going to get bigger muscles. Or if you do a volume type workout where you do a lot of reps and you just go real fast and a lot of sets, you're going to build big muscles that way. You don't need heavy weights. So that we got into a really interesting discussion about that. So that's what we're going to talk about also today. We did get a little discussion about the iconic bodybuilding photos. Jerry pulled out one of Bill Pearl's old books, The History of Bodybuilding, where Bill talks about all the great bodybuilders from the past. And we were looking at some photos there. And we're going to talk about that also next week when we get into our discussion with Jerry. And then finally, we finished off with Jerry talking about insulin and carbs and how that can make you fat. So like I said, another fascinating discussion with Jerry Branum. We're going to get to him in a minute. Before we do that, I want to mention our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. Their certified and knowledgeable staff will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number, 813-922-8939. Again, that's 813-922-8939. They are right out here in Tampa, Florida, but they will work with anybody in the continental United States. And also visit their website, flalternativemeds.com. Please tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you a free consultation. Plus, they will give you 20% off your first order. All right. So thank you, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And also, I really want to thank again all our Patreon sponsors. If you go to the website bodybuildinglegendsshow.com, which is our official website of the podcast, in the upper right-hand corner, we have a Patreon link, and a Patreon donor can contribute money to the podcast if they so choose. So you can just do like $5 a month, whatever you want to do, just to help the show keep going. And we have quite a few Patreon sponsors, and I really do appreciate all you guys for making those donations every month. All right, and I think I mentioned this last week, but I do want to mention again our John Hansen Fitness Challenge winners. This was the first ever John Hansen Fitness Challenge. I started it on January 20th. It was a 12-week challenge to get into the best shape of your life, and it lasted until April 13th, so a couple weeks ago it ended. And, of course, we had that coronavirus really upsetting things in the last month, since like the middle of March, where all the gyms were closing, and so people couldn't get their workouts in, so it was really tough. A lot of people dropped out of the challenge that were going through it, so unfortunately, we did have three guys that really went through all the way to the end. I want to mention their names again. Paul Aliota was the first place winner, Matt Craig was the second place winner, and Ronnie Kirby was the third place winner. So congratulations to those guys. They will be getting books and DVDs from me, and they will also be getting free supplements from Old School Labs, which is my sponsor. So congratulations to those guys, and I hope to do another fitness challenge soon as the gyms open up, which hopefully will be soon. They're talking out here in Tampa, opening up on May 8th, so we'll see what happens. And I know it's different all over the country. We got people protesting. When I came home from work today, I saw people protesting on the streets about opening up the city again. So big debate going on in the country on whether we should get back to work and open everything up, or whether we need to still stay inside to get rid of this virus. So we'll see what happens. All right. Last week's show was very well received, and this was the tribute that we did with Bob Gruskin. So I want to read some of our I did get one email also. I want to read that email. If you guys want to email me any comments on the podcast, just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com, and I'll read your email on the air. This was from Stephen Wilson. He said, "Hi, John. I'm loving the podcast, sir. Please keep up the great work. I can't remember which guest mentioned it, but the point described how biomechanics of the incline bench press did nothing for the upper chest, and rather the decline actually would target that upper chest area. Was it Richard Baldwin? Sounds like his genius." No, that was actually Doug Brignoli who said that. Goodness, what awesome nuggets of wisdom your guests share. Another I love was Mr. Frank Zane correctly describing the differences between proportion and symmetry. The way we most often use the words in common speaking is actually incorrect. Yeah, that was great. I brought that up to Frank because he talks about it in his latest book. So, yeah, he's one of the few that points that out. Steven says, "Your podcasts are wonderful. They remind me of a time when I enjoyed the older shows, American Muscle and Flex Magazine Workout, just more focused and without the actual lifting. Stay safe, my friend, Steven Wilson." All right. Thank you, Steven. And I got some comments on my YouTube page. I put the Bob Gruskin tribute show that we did last week with our guests Tom Terwilliger and John DeFendis and Jerry Scalise and Richard Pelletano, and I put that up on YouTube. And it got quite a few views. So I want to read the comments here. Tim Day said, "This, John, like all your videos, was a pleasure to watch. You do such amazing work in bringing the old school bodybuilders and history back to life, especially for people my age who were mesmerized by this generation of bodybuilders, of true bodybuilders. I was helped by Johnny Fuller, and I remember being in awe. Oh, and a little scared, too. Keep looking and being awesome. Much thanks and respect from the UK." All right. Thank you, Tim. Michael R. said, "Your shows automatically download to my phone as soon as you upload them, and I listen to them when walking my dog. But I came here to the YouTube link so that I could leave a comment that you would see. Great show, as always, John. A great and fitting tribute to a man who truly loved your sport, Mr. Bob Gruskin. I was listening to Aceto and Palumbo on their show, Heavy Muscle Radio, today, and Chris stressed several times that just about everything we now know about peaking for a show came from Bob. I knew that he was knowledgeable, but I didn't realize that he was the dude that really opened the door for guys coming into shows looking like absolute freaks. From what Chris said, it sounds like he was the guy who found the key to unlock the secret of lights out, peeled to the bone conditioning. Very amazing, especially when you consider that he never competed or even trained at all. My respect goes out to the legend. Thanks again, John. You rule, brother." Guy Graham said, I heard of Bob from many Chris Aceto's stories, obviously a good person to mentor these young men and shape their lives for genuine reasons. I remember those types of people who would help young bodybuilders, and it's such a big brother or father figure genuine type, which the sport, with all its changes, sadly doesn't have anymore. A much more innocent period in the sport worldwide. How many lives would Bob have affected in a positive way? Great tribute, John. Ryan Brett said, would you ever consider getting Sergio Oliva Jr. to talk about his father? Great podcast as well. Very informative. Keep up the great work. And one more. This guy said, funny. Nice job. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your comments on our YouTube channel. And I will keep trying to put these videos, or these podcasts, I should say, up on YouTube each week. All right, that is it for our opening. So here is our interview, part one of our interview with Jerry Branham, where we talk about home training, we talk about training the calves, we talk about the best type of training to build the muscle, whether it's heavy or light with volume. And we also talk about some of the most iconic bodybuilding pictures in history. Here we go.
What happened with me was, you know, for the first 10 days, all I have is a stationary bike here, so... I haven't used it in years, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I started using it, and I was doing the bike every day.
Uh-huh.
But you know, see, at my age, the thing is, muscle, you get shrinkage of muscle. The muscle starts to atrophy very fast.
Right.
Even after 10 days, I was noticing my legs and my arms were shrinking around.
Wow, yeah.
It happens that fast. So I started to panic. So first I saw some ads on Facebook for these $89 Bowflex dumbbells.
Oh, and yeah, I saw your post about that.
I was so desperate, I didn't look at it carefully. Because if I would have realized, you know, free shipping for 100 pounds, it's not going to have, and $89,
right,
when the price is $300?
Right.
No, it was a fraud. It took me about 2 days to realize that I got my money back and I had to change my credit card. So then I mentioned that, and a friend of mine saw the post and brought over some old weights that he had extra, you know, kind of rusty, but that's all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about 80 pounds of weights and two or three dumbbells.
Okay.
Some collars, you know, he picked up a couple of homemade collars.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't have enough collars. So I did that. And then in the meantime, even before I bought the weights, I don't know if you ever used, John, have you ever used these resistance bands?
Just for pumping up, but not for working out, really.
I never have either. I never even used them for pumping up, but I saw a couple of videos and it seemed, I said, all right, you know, they look like they, I know I won't get any size. I'm not that I'm trying to get any size, but I mean, I can see that if I do these with enough intensity,
yeah,
maybe reps, it'll at least keep me from atrophying. So I, like an idiot, you know, I sent away for the first one I saw, which was turned out to be a big ripoff. They charged me $127 for five bands. And what I didn't realize at the time was to use those bands, you have to have a little thing called a door anchor.
Oh, yeah.
You basically, you know, you fit it through the door, you run the band, so it allows you to simulate a lot of, you know, weight training exercise. But without that, you can't do these exercises.
Oh, okay.
And then you're just left with these bands, you know. And I did the best I could. And then I said, right after, that's when the guy brought me the weights, you know. I did a couple of weights with the bands. And I was getting surprisingly good workouts with the band.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I was simulating, like, I was doing some tricep work and bicep work. And
yeah.
I hurt my shoulder about 2 months ago. I fell on the shower. My shoulder's in really bad shape, my left shoulder. But, you know, I simulated a lot of other exercises. Then the guy brought the weights. I was able to do a lot more. So I was doing the weights and the bands, combining them. And then another friend, you know, who has a private training gym, you know, a gym just for private training, a small place.
Right.
He asked me if I wanted, you know, train. You know, he offered me a key.
Okay.
And he does have a couple of machines in there, like extension machine and leg press. And,
yeah.
You know, and benches, and he has a couple of pulley devices. I said, sure. So that's why, I've been going there for about the past, 8-9 days.
Okay.
I've been going to this, so, you know, it's been pretty good. I mean, there's no calf machine. So I went, the only thing I could do for my calves is, you know, remember the old one-legged calf raises?
Yeah, yeah.
I did that years ago. Arthur Jones of the Nautilus, he was telling people to that you don't need a calf machine. All you need is a dumbbell and doing one-legged. And I did that.
Yeah.
I was much stronger than I was able to hold like a 60-pound dumbbell on one hand with the weight. And I only did three sets, just like he said. And I'll tell you, my calves actually grew. I was stunned.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. So I remembered that, and you know, I'm not as strong now as I was back then. So I did the bodyweight calf raise, thinking, well, I'll do like, you know, it'll be easy, so I'll do like, you know, 30 reps a set or something.
Yeah.
Man, I struggled to do 15 with all my body weight on one leg. I mean, I didn't realize how much weaker I've gotten over the years. I could barely get 15 reps.
Wow.
But third set, I meant to do 5 sets. By the third set, my calves were dead. I couldn't even lift up my heel. Wow. That's all I do. All I've been doing for the calves is the one-legged calf raise. But the leg routine's fair. Like the other day in the private gym, I did extensions. I have an extension machine. I did leg press. I could have done squats, but I'm afraid to do squats because of my knees are really bad. Mm-hmm. So actually, you know, the old style hack squats where you hold the barbell. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did that, and I felt it. Boy, I'll tell you, I felt it.
Wow.
At least 35 pounds. And I did reps of like 12 to 15. Man, I felt that. It felt like squats. I mean, I did nice and slow and controlled.
Yeah.
I finished off with leg curls. They have a leg curl machine. And then I did another exercise I haven't done in years. It's stiff like a deadlift, which is a good exercise.
Yeah.
But every time I did in the gym, I would always seem to get a strain within a couple of weeks of my leg biceps. I've always been afraid to do it, but I've been doing it now with, again, lighter weight, higher reps. You know, I do that after my leg. It's a great combination to do leg curls and stiff like a deadlift because they work the way the hamstrings tie in.
Yeah.
It works the upper and lower when you do it. So it works out pretty good, you know.
Huh. Okay.
And then a little ab work, and they do have a treadmill, and they got an elliptic machine. Those are the elliptic machines where I use at Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is, so far I can hold out. I don't know when the gyms are going to be open.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook the other day, but they have a news report. The state of Georgia, apparently they've opened up and they have now allowed gyms to be open over there.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking. I'm thinking to myself, what if Gold's open tomorrow? Would I go back there right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I don't think I would because, you know, the cases of this COVID are rising here.
Really?
And it's, yeah, they're actually not going down. They're rising.
Wow. Time.
And not only that, but people, maybe because the other states are opening up, these people have gotten very complacent. Like they're not doing social distancing. And
yeah.
If you don't know about gyms, Johnny, every disease I've ever had in the last 40 years, and I'm not kidding, every disease, whether it's the flu or the cold, I've gotten at the gym. It's the only place it's in. So, you know, it tends to be not the most sanitary place, you know.
Right.
Even before the gym closed, I was washing my hands after every exercise.
Yeah.
Just to be every yeah. exercise, I go in the bathroom and wash.
Really? Wow.
So what I'm saying is, I'd love to go back to the gym, don't get me wrong, but I think I want to go back when more people have been tested, when it's kind of like a little bit safer than it is now. I think right now is a little bit premature the way it is now.
Yeah.
You know, because they're talking about a second wave of this stuff going.
Right.
And I have asthma.
So you got to be careful.
I can't screw around. I'm considered high risk, you know,
right.
with older people, asthma, any type of pulmonary disease.
Yeah.
Because this thing attacks mainly the lungs. So
right.
I have to be real careful. So, you know, that's another reason. So I probably continue to just do what I'm doing here with
yeah.
this stuff.
Yeah.
Go to the private gym. I'm getting workouts in, you know.
Right.
I get aerobics, which is very important, you know. So, we'll see what happens. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned some old school exercise there, the one-legged calf raise. I got to go back to that. I haven't tried that in a long time.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's really hard.
Yeah, I bet it is.
I mean, I'm not a light. I mean, I'm about 230. 230 on one leg.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that's like doing over 400 pounds on it. So I barely am able to get 50. I got a strain to get 15 reps.
Yeah.
But I do them real slow. I go all the way down,
right.
all the way up to hold it. And the thing about doing that is you really can keep – it's easy to keep your knee locked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're actually working the gastric knees, the calf.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, I don't know. I was thinking of adding, after doing the 3 sets of one-legged, I'm considering adding maybe 2 sets of free leg – free weight, body weight, both leg calf raises.
Yeah.
I get about 20 reps of 4 sets just to – I feel bad because I think my calves need a little more work, even though they're dead after 3 sets.
Yeah.
You know, your head, you have to do more for the calves. In the gym, when I train my calves, I do 15 sets. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So that's what I'm used to. So,
yeah.
So.
They have a donkey calf raise in my gym with the machine. You know, it's like a machine, so it's got the – but I can use all 400 pounds for 20 right. reps. I get a little pump, but it doesn't build my calves anymore. Like I need more weight. I think it's just the way the machine's built or something. So if I did those, I'll bet that would really be a shock, you know?
Yeah. I use the same. I use a Dunkin' calf machine at Gold's Gym, too.
Yeah.
I do leg press calf raise, and I finish up with the seated calf raise. And I really like the seated calf raise.
Yeah, I do, too.
What I do is, you know, it's a soleus muscle you're working. So what I do is I do really high reps for like 5 sets.
Right.
I'm doing like 30 reps a set. On the last set, I go for as many reps as I can. And sometimes I do 50 reps, John. But I mean, talk about burn.
Yeah.
By the time I get off that thing, I can barely walk. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it sounds funny. I got a little calf growth out of that.
I'll bet.
My calf started to get veins in them. I never had veins in my calves.
Yeah.
It's a good system. I mean, it works good. You know.
I talked to a friend of mine the other day. He was a judge. He was the head of the MPC in my district, the Central District. And he's got to be late 60s. He's probably at least 10 years older than me. Yeah. So anyways, he hasn't been working out. So he bought those push-up bars, you know.
Yeah.
So he said on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he does like 5 sets of 12, and he supersets them. So he'll go real wide, and then he'll go real close. And then on Tuesday, Thursday, he does like 3 sets of 12. Same thing, supersets them. There's different, all different kinds. Goes them this way. He said his chest has gotten so much bigger. From doing like push-ups every day.
Well, the first workout at home, the very first exercise I tried to do was push-ups.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I could do them because of my shoulder. Really bad shape. And I got to be honest, I'm not going to lie. I went down in the push-up all the way to the floor. I only got halfway up. My shoulder started to give out.
I
didn't do a single push-up. And then I remember thinking, well, they came out with a recent medical report saying that if you can't do 10 push-ups, you're heading for death. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. I'm in big trouble.
Right.
But the thing I wanted to do was, if you do push-ups with your legs elevated, it's almost like doing an incline press, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's the upper pecs. In fact, some studies show it works the upper pecs better than incline presses. Hmm. I really wanted to do that. That was going to be my upper pec, but I couldn't do push-ups.
Hmm.
So in gym, what I do is I do incline dumbbell presses. I can't use any. It's embarrassing. I got to do only, believe it or not, 25 pounds in each hand.
Wow.
I feel like a lift. Because my shoulder hurt. If I try and use any weight, the shoulder just kills me.
Hmm.
So I'm doing, and I have to keep my hands facing like parallel.
Yeah.
Doing it like I can do it. I do sets of like 25 to 30 reps to make up for it.
Yeah.
I can't use any. I get a pump on my upper pecs.
Good.
So
good.
That's all I can do. I can't do any incline flies at all. The shoulder hurt. It kills my shoulders.
Wow.
Kills it.
Hmm.
Like I say, you can't see a doctor here because they're not seeing people.
Yeah.
While this is going on, so I called the doctor when I first heard the show. You know, it was right after this thing started, and I wanted to have a consult with an orthopedic. He says, "Well, they're not going to, just like I'm talking to you on the phone. They won't see anybody. Everything's by phone now."
Yep.
So I can set it up for you, but they won't see you until after this thing ends. So
yeah,
I just have to bear with it. You know, I mean. It, like right now, I don't feel much unless I really move it around a lot. I just feel a little bit of pain.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, it hurts when I sleep for some reason. I don't know why, but it hurts when I sleep. So I try not to sleep on it. But I tell you, it's really hampering. You know, I'm lucky I can train biceps.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that I'd be able to do curls, but I can.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm freaking weak. I can't believe how weak I am. I mean,
yeah.
I can't. I don't know whether it's because of the shoulder, or maybe because I mean, I've been laid off for 10 days, but I have like no muscle strength.
Wow.
These light weights and struggling with it. You know, I've never been this weak in my life.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I guess you can say, well, what difference does the weight make? Because, you know, your muscles don't know. But, I mean, when I struggle to do curls with like 65, 70 pounds.
Yeah.
Where I get 10 reps. I mean, just 2 years ago, I was using 135.
Wow.
You know, it kind of bothers me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's because I've reached a certain age or what, but my strength is just down to nothing.
How old are you now, Jerk?
70.
70. Hmm. Yeah.
And all this started happening, right? And maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe I'm talking into myself. It's when I turned 70 in February. That's when I noticed the gradual loss.
Hmm.
Everything, even before I hurt my shoulder.
Yeah.
Noticing I was getting like weaker and weaker. You know, I just couldn't push the weights.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that stayed, well, fit, well, I wouldn't say strong, but, you know, stronger than the other was my legs.
Yeah.
My legs have always been my strongest muscle. Always.
Yeah, you guys have good legs, yeah.
Yeah, they're holding up pretty good. I mean, they were holding up pretty good. But my upper body, forget it.
Wow.
Hey, listen, I'm grateful to be able to train. I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm able to walk. I mean, my knees aren't that great. But, I mean, you know, I'm not going to complain. There's people worse off than me. So,
yeah.
Thank God that I'm able to walk. And like I say, I have little aches and pains most of the time, but it's nothing overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I take a pill, it's, you know, the pain's usually gone. So,
yeah.
You know, other than that, I'm okay.
And you got a full head of hair.
That's another thing. I need a haircut really bad.
Yeah.
I usually get one every 2 months, and I keep a little card in my wallet to remind me when my haircut's
due. Right.
And it's not due till May 5th, but for some reason my hair, maybe the guy didn't cut it short enough. It's now to the point where it's uncontrollable. You turn
right.
over.
Right.
So the first things I'm going to do is get a haircut when the guy opens up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if another month goes by, I'm going to really look crazy with this. I'm going to have to actually water it down every day. I'm going to have to water it. Right. You know, like, and otherwise it's going to be sticking out all over the place.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have any like chronic injuries, John, that bothers you? Any shoulder, elbow, knee, anything like
no,
that?
No, my shoulder's been pretty good. I got my left elbow's been bothering me a lot. I'm thinking about going to get it looked at, you know. It's kind of a sharper pain. My lower back, always I got to be careful of, but it's not bad. I'm still squatting. I'm still doing T-bar rows, bent over rows, you know. I'm 57 now. I just turned 57, so still training pretty heavy.
57, I was still doing pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I did start to, I'll tell you, when I started to lose, I mean, I was really strong until 55.
Okay.
I was lifting really pretty heavy weights until 55. Then 55, each year after that, I got a little bit weaker, but not really that weak.
Yeah.
And like I say, it really hit me this year, like when I turned 70. This is when I really noticed it.
Yeah, and
I can see that. I can look at Arnold and tell you, you know, he's going through the same thing as Stallone. All these guys that are up there, you know, they're all, I'm sure they're facing the same situation.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember reading a medical report where, you know, it said that at past the age of 70, they said it's almost impossible to build muscle,
mm-hmm.
but you can maintain it all the way till you die.
Yeah.
In other words, you don't have to lose muscle. You just can't get big, in other words. In
right.
other words, if for some reason I wanted to be a competitive bodybuilder,
No,
I can't. Even though I've been training consistently all these years, the muscles just won't respond past 70. I couldn't get big.
Yeah.
Even if I took steroids, I still wouldn't get big.
Yeah.
But that's okay because I don't care.
Yeah.
You know the truth of the matter is, as strange as it sounds, I'd love to be smaller.
Yeah.
I'd love to be like, you know, I weigh about 229, right? I would love to weigh – I'd love to weigh – my contest weight was 210.
Okay.
I would like to weigh between 195 and maybe 200. I would love, because I would look I would actually look not skinny, but very slim. My abs would be fantastic.
Yeah.
My waist would be so small. You know, I would look better. I would just look better, because I'll be honest with you. I've done this Muscle Beach contest, and sometimes I take pictures of people. I'm wearing a T-shirt like I'm wearing now, and this is like a double X T-shirt. You know, it's loose. I like loose T-shirt.
Yeah.
But in photo, it looks like I'm a big fat guy. I mean, it looks like because my arms look skinny,
right.
And I got this, you know, big, you know, it looks like I'm a big fat guy. It drives me nuts.
Right.
I want to look slim in photos. I don't want to look like a big fat guy. You know. So, but unfortunately, it's easier said than done. You know.
Because,
You know, I would have to actually lose some muscle to get down there, because I don't have a lot of fat.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm skinny. I can lose fat. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, if I got to, let's say, 200, 210, I wouldn't have any fat. I'd literally be like down to like 8% fat, something like that.
Wow.
Be
really? That's lean.
But you know, the funny thing is, if I go below 190, and I did this years ago, I went all the way down to 180, which was like Frank Zane's contest weight to show you the difference.
Right.
At 180, I looked skinny. I actually looked skinny. People thought I was sick. I mean, I was so thick. I was downright skinny. My own mother didn't recognize me when I showed up in New York.
Wow.
She picked me up at the airport. I was 182. She walked right by me. She didn't recognize me. That's how skinny I was. So, yeah. So my minimum weight is probably about 190. And past that, I start to look too skinny.
Yeah. I knew a guy from Illinois. He was an older guy, and he won a contest. When I used to promote shows in Chicago, he would still enter like the open division, and he was 70 years old.
Right.
This guy was amazing. But he told me, I did an interview with him once for Iron Man magazine when I was writing for Iron Man, because I thought this guy was so impressive. He had incredible abs, like unbelievable abs.
Yeah.
And he told me he started working out, like not as a teenager. He was probably like 21. I think he was in the Army, and then he started working out at like 21. Mm-hmm. And so then he had a good build, and he always, was always natural, never took any drugs at all, you know. And I don't know what he competed at, but he said as he got older, he probably lost 15 pounds of lean mass just because he got older. I mean, this guy was so strict about his diet. He never cheated. He worked out consistently, worked out hard. And I never forgot that. I was like, wow, you lost 15 pounds of muscle just because your hormone levels changed, you know?
Well, I can tell you, it's not just the hormone, but the thing is, even with testosterone replacement therapy, according to the medical journals, and this is a little bit discouraging, some level of sarcopenia, meaning muscle loss, is inevitable.
Yeah.
And as I said, it accelerates. You know, you get a little bit when you're younger, you know. Sometimes it's just so slight you hardly notice it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe your legs a little small or something like that. It accelerates at age 70.
Mm.
If you continue to work out, unfortunately, there'll be a little, you know, you can minimize it. In other words, it won't be massive where your muscles just disappear, but there'll be a little bit of muscle loss each year past 70.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you work out, you'll have enough muscle. This is an important point, where you're not going to be like the people in nursing. You know, most people in nursing homes are there because of frailty, not because of mental reasons.
Yeah.
They're so weak, they have such sarcopenia, they can't even feed themselves. They can't even dress themselves.
Wow.
Work out, you will never get that.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
That's the news. The bad news from, you know, if you've been a long-time bodybuilder, is you're going to watch your muscles get smaller each year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they'll never get to the point where they disappear completely. You know, a guy who met him, let's say a guy who, when he was younger, had 20-inch arms. When he's 75, he'll be lucky to have 16-inch arms. That'll be a big arm for him.
Jeez. Seriously. Wow. Yeah.
And it'll be more likely to be something like 14-inch arms.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, getting old sucks.
if you do resistance exercise and you keep your protein intake up, you don't eat a lot of garbage food, because the more fat you put on, the greater the systemic inflammation. And systemic inflammation really tears down your muscles.
Mm.
That really tears it down. So the lower you can keep your body fat as you age, again, that with the working out and the whole protein, that will minimize where you might even not even notice it. I mean, you might look the same at 80 as you did at 70.
Wow.
I mean, I'll give you an example. Look at our good friend Richard Baldwin.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard's now, what, 73, I think he is?
Yeah, he's about Arnold's age, yeah.
He still looks, I mean, you know, he still has a pretty good amount of muscle.
Right.
I mean, he's not that much different than he was, you know, when he competed, if you look at it.
Maybe
smaller, he admits that, you know, this changes. I mean, Richard has a leg injury where he can't train his legs. I think he said he can't do calf work at all, if I remember correctly. But his upper body is in tremendous shape. Why? Because this is a guy who stays on a clean diet,
mm-hmm.
like press all year round, and he loves to train.
Yeah.
He loves to train.
Yeah.
I mean, I contacted him recently. I guess he has some dumbbell. He's still training also. I mean, he's still in shape.
I just talked to him today, actually, on Messenger.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he stays in shape. So, you know, he's like an instant. Oh, Robbie Ryan's another guy.
Yeah.
Robbie lost a lot of muscle. I mean, between me and you.
Yeah.
He's not Robbie he was in the 70s.
No.
I mean, he's clearly. But look at the guy. He's shredded. And nobody could say he doesn't look like a bodybuilder.
No. Yeah. He looks great.
I mean, the man is what? He's 70. How old is he? 74?
He'll be 74 this year. Yeah.
Yeah. 74. Look at him. Look, you know. Look at Robbie and look at the average man who's 74.
It's right. Right.
The contrast is so different. It's actually jaw-droppingly shocking.
Right.
Because the average 74-year-old guy is like walking. He can barely walk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you shake his hand, it's like nothing there. There's nothing.
Right.
I remember shaking hands with Jack Elaine years ago when I first met Jack Elaine. He was already, let's see, how old was he? When I met him, he was, I think he was in his late 80s when I met him, you know? And I shook his hand, and I'm telling you, John, it was like a bone-crushing grip. I hey, Jack, don't break my hand, you know? And then right. I met him. Then I saw him again. I was at his 90th birthday party. John Balik was there, too. Dave Draper, a couple other people were there. And again, I went up and shook his hand. At 90, he still had the hand grip.
Wow.
It was like steel. John, I'm not exaggerating. It actually hurt the shake. He goes and he squeezes it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He's doing it on purpose.
And, you know, and I always think of Jack Elaine when I come across these medical reports, because, you know, I'm reading these journals all the time for my newsletter.
Yeah.
I always come across these medical reports saying that an indication of muscle strength or the muscular system in an older person is their grip strength. In other words, if an older person still has a pretty good grip strength, that's a very good sign.
Yeah.
If their grip strength is like where they can't even close their hand, they're in trouble. That's the way it
works. Okay. Okay.
So back to the push-ups, you know. So
yeah.
I'm not judging myself on the push-up because I think I could have done a couple if it wasn't my shoulder. My shoulder just was – when I went down, it felt like somebody was putting a knife. I had to stop.
Oh, man, damn.
I felt bad because I was counting on push-ups as being one of my primary – because, you know, at the time I had nothing here but a stationary bike.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even have the bands. I was counting on push-ups. I was going to do all kinds of variations like you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was going to, you know, the push-ups with the feet up for the upper chest. I was going to do the tricep push-ups years ago.
Yeah.
I remember with
the diamonds.
I was going to do push-ups. I was going to do reverse push-ups.
Yeah.
I was going to do clapping push-ups. I had all this plan. I couldn't do it, though. Couldn't do it.
I wonder if it makes a difference with those push-up bars.
I don't think so. I think it's still just because of, maybe you're right, because you can do a parallel position.
Yeah.
You're right, because I notice, like, for example, the incline dumbbell press, I can't do them like with my hands like this.
Well, you can do it like this.
But I can do it like this.
Right.
Isn't it just the hand turning? Yeah. When I do it in the normal position, I can't do a single rep. Because I'm like, as soon as I go like this, nothing.
No problem.
This is the shoulder. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird. I guess just that turning the hand,
yeah,
somehow different stress on the shoulder. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, think about it. It's the same hand position for incline flies, but I can't do incline flies. I think with incline flies, the difference is it's the stretching motion of the incline flies. That's why my shoulder hurts.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
Because the press is not really that. The stretch is only one part of the movement.
Right.
With incline flies, it's stretched throughout. Think about it until you get to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why my shoulder can't take it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks getting old.
Oh, man, let me tell you. You know Betty Davis, the famous actress?
Yeah, I remember.
She once made a statement. She says, aging is not for sissies.
Right.
Let me tell you. You know, John, when I was a kid, I used to see these old guys, the older guys, you know. I was strong and working out in great shape.
Yeah.
And it's old guys, you know. Like my stepfather, he'd have to pull himself out of the car in like three different positions. And I see the old guys just walking so slow and bent over. And I used to say, man, I am never going to let myself get like that. No way. These guys didn't take care of themselves. I'm still not like those guys. But as far as I never expected, you know, for some reason, I always thought if I worked out and ate right, did everything right, that I would have no aches and pains at all.
Right.
That did not happen.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be worse, but I do have chronic, like you say, even without the shoulder injury, when I went to the ER, when I fell on my shoulder, I went to the ER, and they confirmed something I had suspected, because I noticed my shoulders ache all the time. At first, I thought it was just working out.
Yeah.
But I said, no, there's something wrong. They shouldn't be aching 24 hours a day like this.
Right.
Not a deep pain, just like an ache, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a suspicion, and it was confirmed in the hospital. They did an x-ray, did a CT scan. I have arthritis in both shoulders.
Mm.
That's my shoulder hurt. Just like my knees. That's why my knees hurt, arthritis.
Yeah.
And that is related to aging, and it's a little bit of a wear and tear thing. Let's face it, I mean, I've been training my shoulders since I was 11 years old. I mean,
right.
There's got to be some breakdown there, you know?
Right, right.
Like, say, look, I can lift my arm. You know, I'm not, I'm happy to have whatever I have. Let me put it that way. I just don't want it to get worse.
I know. All right, you ready for our topic here, Jer?
Yeah. Now, you want to, you know what I'm thinking, John? You know Bill Pearl's book that he came out with a couple years ago? Well, he did the biographies.
Yeah, I got those,
I have that. I was thinking maybe I'll get that out. I can hold it up to the camera.
Okay.
And you have pictures too, and we can do it that way.
Yeah.
Because he has a ton of pictures in there of bodybuilding people. I sent for this as soon as Bill Pearl, announced it.
Yeah, I did too.
Because I'm a student. First of all, Bill Pearl was my idol when I was a kid.
Right.
And second of all, like yourself, I'm a student of bodybuilding history. Legends of the Iron Games.
Right.
Now, you know, he has the three volumes. Probably volume, what, two and three would have? Let me see.
Probably three, yeah. That'll be the last, later, guys.
See, it's in two. Let me see. He's got a couple of, you know, he's got Reg Park, Steve Reed, oh, Zabo. Well, here's a couple of guys, you know. Remember this guy, Ken, what the hell was his name again? Ken McCord, remember Ken McCord?
I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah, but he was in great shape, that guy. Joe Nista, you know.
Joe Nista, I remember, yeah.
Nancy Rose, you want to talk about these older guys or you want to stay with the current guys?
Yeah, I was thinking like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I had this idea. I even asked Peter McGuff if he wanted to talk about it, but he didn't think it would work well on the radio, you know, like a podcast. But I just wanted to take like what you think are the most iconic pictures in bodybuilding. Like I've got a couple in my mind of, you know, pictures that I'll always remember. Right. So I thought we could talk about like different pictures, you know.
Well, this one I could start out with.
Yeah,
there
you go, Larry Scott. Yeah.
That is an iconic photo.
Right.
I remember this as a kid. I was so impressed by this picture.
Who took that picture, Jerry?
That was Gene Mosey who took this picture.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, this photo, I couldn't believe it. I think I was, how old was I? 13, 14 years old.
And it was that picture, right?
And I hung this on my wall, you know, in my apartment back in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I said, Mike, look at those freaking arms.
Yeah.
I mean, this one here, him doing that kind of most muscular.
Right.
That's a pretty iconic. I mean, he looked great. Look at this guy. You know. Bill Cino. Remember Bill Cino?
He's from the Chicago area. I know Bill real good. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to communicate with him, and he didn't answer me for some reason. I don't know why.
He may not be good on social media.
Yeah, I was telling him how I admired him, because I remember in the early 60s when he competed in powerlifting, strength and bench press.
Yeah.
I think he won most muscular in one of the AAU Mr. Americas.
Yeah, he did. I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was the one before Bob Guido won.
I think it was 1964 when Val Vasily won.
I think you're right. It was, yeah.
You know, this is an example I'm talking about. How many people, John, would Val Vasily won? Now, you know who he was in a second.
I swear to you, go to
any gym when they're open, go to the first 100 guys and see, do you remember Val Vasily?
No.
You got to really be a bodybuilding historian.
Have my shows in Chicago, I used to invite Bill Cino and Bob Guida to all the shows.
Right. I think I saw a video or a picture of that.
Yeah. They would always come up on stage and hand out trophies and stuff.
Right. I saw you standing next to Bill Cino. I remember that.
Yeah.
Didn't he become a teacher or something?
Yeah. He was a teacher at was it Eisenhower High School, I think, in Chicago, one of the suburbs.
Is he a pretty nice guy, you think?
Very nice guy. Yeah. Real soft-spoken.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, that's one of my pictures right there. Go back one.
Which one?
This one? Yeah. The one you said you were in the background, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is not the one I'm in the background. Did you find that picture?
No, I didn't. I saw that one. Yeah.
It's the same day this was taken. I remember this dog. This dog was he was like the gym mascot. He was owned by the owner was a guy named Billy Markakis.
Right.
Good friend of mine. This is the original Gold's Gym. Billy Markakis, I think I told you the story. He's the guy who talked me into training at 6 a.m.
Okay.
He says, you got to try it. It's great. You get the workout out of the way. He's a little tough in the first couple of workouts, but after about a week, you get used to it. He says, Jerry, you're going to love it. So I showed up. The dog was there. I trained with Billy Markakis. And I did. I got through a week, and I always tell people, I just, you know, the working out woke my brain. It wasn't like I was sleeping. But it was the weirdest feeling, because this is when I was a young guy, very strong. I could not get a pump, and my muscles felt dead. They just didn't wake up.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I ever trained that early.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always remember this dog was great. He was a great thing. The same day this picture was taken, this was an Art Zella picture. Is that Zane in the background? Over here? I'm not sure. I think that's Zane over here. Anyway.
Oh, really?
It turns out he took it from a rear angle. You know, this is from the front. And over here, there was a chinning bar in the corner, and there was a chair, and I was sitting there looking at Zello take pictures of Colombo. I was wearing a black leather jacket. You can't see me clearly, but, you know, you can see me sitting. I'm just leaning back in the chair wearing this kind of black leather jacket watching. Right. Always trying to find that photo. I could never find it.
Yeah.
But it was the same day as this photo.
Yeah.
You know. And that is an iconic photo. Look at that.
That's an iconic photo all the way.
Those are not fake weights.
No, they didn't have fake weights back then, right?
No, not at all. Now this one here, this is interesting because, you know, there, could you see it? There's Arnold.
Caffrey's, yeah.
Right now, there's Frank Zane, right? Columbo sitting on top of Frank Zane. This guy here was Pete Caputo.
Yeah.
He was my training partner.
Really?
I was there. I was right out of camera angle when this picture was taken because they already had the three guys on. They couldn't fit me on. I was going to get, you know, I would have been in this picture like if one of those guys wasn't there. But Pete got on there, you know, so that was my training. I always wondered what happened to him. But this was the original Gold's Gym, right? Not long after I joined Gold. This is like 1969.
Wow, yeah, right after Arnold got to America.
Listen, John, this is an iconic picture of Dave Draper. Look at
Dave Draper, yeah.
Oh, man, that's an iconic picture of Dave. I was there that night, too. I remember those trunks he's wearing. I could tell little stories about this picture.
Yeah, Are those the blue trunks of Bill Pearl's?
That's right. Bill lent him those gave him those trunks to wear. A lot of people don't say that.
Because Bill won the Mr. Universe with that, right? With those trunks.
Because remember, Bill Pearl was my idol back then, and he used to wear those kind of, what are they, like sparkly blue trunks?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was selling them for a while, and I bought them.
Huh.
I bought them because I was competing in bodybuilding. Very disappointing, John. When I bought them, they looked like they looked like I was wearing a diaper.
Oh, really?
I never wore them again. I think I gave them to somebody. I gave them away. They looked so bad on me. I said, well, I guess I'm not big enough to wear these because they look great on Bill and they look great on Dave.
Yeah.
They look terrible on me. This is a nice shot of Dave, you know, the double on bicep. You know, there's a lot. This thing has there's Frank Zane. This one here, when he won the America, remember that?
Yeah.
I had that. That's one of the, remember I told the story about the trophies in the living room?
Right, that was one of the trophies, right?
It's the first one the girl went up to. It was six, like a 6 foot trophy or something like that.
Wow, 1968, says, right?
Mr. America on there. Yeah, Mr. America. Yes, Mr. America. That was funny. I'll never forget that. Wow. John Citrone. You know that he's, we were just talking about this. This guy here he was born in 1943. He's in his 70s.
Yeah.
Do you remember John Citrone?
Yeah, yeah. I interviewed him once on my show.
He's still in great shape.
He's in awesome shape, yeah.
Great shape. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look that much different than this.
Right. No, he doesn't.
I mean, I don't know how this guy does it.
Right.
He still is in contest shape. Look at him here. This is years later. Look at him when he was younger. He was much better shape when he got old.
He was more ripped when he got older.
Much better when he got older. That's a rare. Usually, oh my God, here's my good friend, Harold Poole. This is an iconic photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the first photos of Joe Reed's, it was called, I think it was it called Muscle Builder back then?
Yeah, Muscle Builder, yeah.
This photo was Harold Poole's first photo in Joe Weider's magazine.
That was really his first photo? Really?
Yes, his photo. It was taken when he went over to a Weider. You could see he has the number on his trunks.
Yeah.
I think it was, what was the first one? Was it the Miss Universe that he had to join? You know, the first Weider show, IFBB?
Yeah. I think he won the Universe and then he lost the America. Remember that to Larry Scott?
This was taken when he won the Universe. This was taken. And I can tell you it was taken by Jimmy, the guy from Canada. What's
Caruso.
His name?
Jimmy Caruso.
Jimmy Caruso took this in his studio in Manhattan. How do I know? The black background. That was his signature.
Yeah.
He used to put black curtains. How do I know? Because I took pictures there.
Oh, really?
I think I won a title called Teenage Mr. East in America. And they said to me, you have to show up at this studio tomorrow. It's near 14th Street, Manhattan. They're going to take photos of you, Jimmy Caruso. Now, I went there. I didn't know Joe Weider would. This is where I actually met Joe Weider. How old was I? I think I was either 15 or 16 years old.
Oh, my this God. Is,
I was really, you know, remember I'd been reading the magazines. And there's Joe Weider himself. And he posed me. He told me what to do. And he had me do a shot. I remember he had me do, you know, like a twisting bicep like this.
Yeah.
He told me what
to do. He helped you. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I remember they had the Jimmy Caruso photographer. They had the black background. And son of a bitch, you know, I had those photos in an album. I think I told you this. So I put him in an album. Bill Grant, I had him in a album with my magazines. Bill Grant wanted to borrow my magazines. So I just gave him the whole box. I didn't take the album. I wasn't thinking. Grant put it in the back of an old car that he decided he didn't want, and the car was towed. I had shots in there right of me right when I started training. I had the Caruso shot all gone.
Oh, man, that sucks.
That was terrible, terrible, terrible.
You know, I tried to contact Jimmy Caruso about doing an interview.
Yeah, what happened? He's still alive?
He's still alive. He's still in Canada. I got his answering machine. I left him a message, but he never called me back.
Wow. I know you've interviewed Boyer Co., right?
Oh, yeah. Boyer's a great interview.
Look at how young he was in this photo. Pressing.
Yeah, dude, wow.
You're just kidding. He was a teenager.
That looks like an old photo.
Yeah, that's when he was a kid. Yeah. I'll tell you, Boyer had some arms, though, didn't he?
Oh, wow. Boyer had incredible arms.
Shaking hands with J. Paul Getty.
Yeah, at the NAVA Universe, yeah.
The richest guys in the world, you know. I'll have to ask Boyer about that. So, you know, Getty was a big bodybuilding fan. Did you know that?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he used to attend the NAVA Universe in London all the time. And he was the wealthiest guy on Earth. Could you imagine? And even Bezos. Did you know that Bezos lifts weights?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bezos lifts weights. Yeah, he's into it.
Maybe they can get him to sponsor the Olympia this year.
Oh, boy. You think he'd afford it?
It's getting richer and richer.
He'll be worth $140 billion. Do you know that this month, you know, because, you know how people are at home, they're buying a lot of crap on Amazon.
Right.
You know?
Amazon and Netflix are the two businesses that are doing great.
Listen, Jack, his wealth went up this month. $24 billion in 1 month.
God, unbelievable.
He makes $600,000 a day, this guy. $600,000 every day.
Yeah.
He makes like $1,200, I think it's $1,249 every second. The time we're talking here, he's made millions.
Yeah.
It just freaks me out, you know?
I know.
And here's my buddy Lou Ferrigno. This is a pretty iconic shot of Lou. Remember when he made
the comeback? Yeah, when he made his comeback, yeah.
He looked great. I think he looked great. And of course, here's Mike. So,
I picked Mike for one of my iconic photos. Do you remember the one where he's standing? He's just standing relaxed. I think it was from 1978 when he went in that Mr. North America. And he just looks unbelievable.
It's not this one, is it?
No, that was around the time he won the universe, I think.
Okay. And he was standing relaxed. And was this when he won the America?
No, I think it was he won the Mr. North America. Remember that contest?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing any pictures from the contest, but this one picture where he's just standing there, he looks unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Bev Francis. Boy, I haven't seen her in years. Bev Francis. Lee Haney. Great shot of Lee Haney. I like that shot of Lee Haney.
Yeah.
When he's Olympias. Look at that. What a great upper body. Oh, now, God.
A picture of Lee Haney that I picked for my list, Jerry, was the one that Mike Nevue took where he's standing over the manhole cover.
Oh, yeah, in Manhattan. That's
with
a great
jeans on. Yeah.
With the coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That is a definite icon. That was a great. One thing about Mike, I'll tell you, the man never had much of a personality, but he was creative.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember the shot of Brian Buchanan on the photo of Iron Man where he looks like half his body?
Yeah,
like,
that was great. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Mike would come up with really good ideas. Yeah. I mean, he was probably, I have to give him credit, of all the bodybuilding photographers, he was the most creative.
Yeah.
The guy had just no personality at all.
Right.
It's just somebody extracted the personality out of the body. But,
I thought it was just me.
That's the way he was. Oh, my God. Look at the size of Ronnie Coleman. Jeez.
Who was that?
Wow. Ronnie Coleman standing next to Bill Peru.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. He was a monster. Good example. All right. He's had a lot of injuries, as you know. But
right.
You look at this picture of him here when he was at his peak, and you compare him to now, and it's almost like it makes you almost want to cry.
I know.
You know, is that, everything's gone. The legs, the arm, they're all
gone. His arms, everything, yeah.
Everything. I honestly, I would never have imagined that Ronnie could get that small. I thought this guy would be big for life. I knew he'd get smaller as he got older. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But I never would have imagined that he would be the way he is today, where, geez, his arms are about as big as mine.
Yeah, especially his triceps have just completely vanished.
Nothing there. Nothing. Huh? Tell him I'll give him a treat a little later. I'm doing it. Okay. The little dog standing outside my face. Dexter Jackson. Wow, yeah. He's another amazing guy.
Yeah.
I mean, breaking the rules of nature. What is he, like 50 years old?
50 years old. He turned 50, yeah.
Is he still? Has he retired?
He's supposed to do the Olympia. That's supposed to be his last one.
Can you imagine the guy would? He'll probably place in the top. I mean, seriously, he's
top six. Something. Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, they say that. What was it? Remember the famous long jump record that was set in Mexico City? What was his name again? Was it Bob Beamon? I can't remember.
Yeah, Bob.
That record stood for like 30 years or something like that, and they were saying it would never be broken. Right?
Yeah.
Of course, actually it was broken, but I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying that if this guy competes at 50 and places in the top six, it's going to take years before anyone matches that. That is something else.
Right.
Honestly, I know this sounds weird. Maybe it's because I'm older. I'm more impressed by that than the younger guys, that this guy could stand up to them.
Yeah.
So, like, he can be almost the grandfather of some of these guys.
I know.
He's competing against them. My God.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know him very well. I mean, I met him at Columbo's. I went up to him at Columbo's memorial, and I said, "Dexter, I got to tell you, I've admired you for a long time." I said, "It's amazing how you're able to compete against these guys that are like half your age," and he just looked at me. You know, he didn't say anything. He shook my hand. He wasn't unfriendly. He just kind of half smiled and walked away. He didn't say anything. And I was standing there scratching my head. I'm thinking, I know the guy, it's not a personal thing. I mean, maybe this is just his personality. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Maybe he was distracted. I don't know. I thought he'd say something, you know? I mean,
you
feel kind of sheepish when you compliment somebody right. And they don't say anything, you know? I mean, you know, you almost like you say to yourself, did I say the wrong thing? Shouldn't I have said that or what,
right.
You know?
Right.
Jeez. No, but he seems like a nice guy. I don't want to, you know, give the wrong impression. He seems like a nice guy. It's just that I guess he wasn't in a mood to talk or something.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah. Let me look at my list here, Jerry. So I got into contest photos and then photos that weren't contest photos.
Okay.
So let's see. All right. One of them I thought that was an iconic photo was when Arnold and Zane and Christine Zane won that 70 NABBA Universe.
Oh yeah,
and they took the picture with Chris. They're both holding up Christine Zane in the middle. I thought that was a great photo.
It's a great photo, definitely a great photo. It's true. I know exactly which one you're talking about. She won this thing called Miss Bikini or something like that.
Yeah, Miss Bikini Universe or something.
Yeah, you know, here's an interesting thing. Do you remember a guy named Chuck Amato?
Yeah,
who competed in the 70 America. Here's him standing next to Casey Vieto was 19. Chuck Amato always won best abs. I don't know if you can see that in the contest.
Yes, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
This is an Arthur Jones picture. It was taken in Deland, Florida.
Uh-huh.
The lighting is so bad, John. I mean, you can see he has no fat on his body. The lighting is so bad, it looks like he has no abs.
Yeah.
This is the only shot I've ever seen of Amato where he didn't have really, really great abs.
Right.
The lighting is so bad that flat it drowns his abs. You know? I mean, it looks like he has a small waist. That's a shame about Casey. He was a great guy. I miss him, you know. Do you have any shots of Dennis Fiorino?
No, I didn't think of any of him, no.
Yeah. I don't have any either here. But, yeah. Let's look at Zane here. Zane. Let me see.
Well, I think Zane doing his vacuum pose, that's got to be one of the most iconic pictures ever, right?
For sure.
Especially that one from the 79 Olympia where he was in best shape.
Well, when I saw Frank at the Orange County Fit Expo, what was it? Geez, a while now, maybe
January.
A year ago. He was doing a question and answer session on stage with Phil Williams and Samir and what's his name? Oh God, I can't remember the other guy. Two other guys. I can't even remember who they are. But
Sean Ray was there too, right?
Who?
Sean Ray.
Sean Ray was the MC. Yeah.
Okay.
I asked Sane a question about the vacuum pose. I said, you know, Frank, you were the architectural, you were the guy most famous for that pose. And I said to him, I said, do you think, you know, considering, you know, this situation about the bellies, the protruding bellies, do you think they should bring back your iconic pose, you know, since you are the one who really made it famous? Do you think they should make that part of the judging, and the guys that can't do the pose would be judged down? You know,
yeah.
Maybe it'll make them do something about those bellies. You know,
what do you say?
I think he said it wouldn't be a bad idea. He says it, but he wasn't too enthusiastic about it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
he said, you know, you can do it that way, or you could do it. You know, I could take it or leave it. In other words,
yeah,
he wasn't to the point where he'd be militant and say, it absolutely should be part of, you know, it wasn't one of the, he says, it wouldn't be a bad idea, but he says, I think he said, if I remember, I don't think it's going to ever happen, something like that.
Yeah.
And I think he's definitely right about that.
Yeah.
You know, because let's face it, I mean, it would eliminate a lot of the guys would have to be, depending on how many points they give on it, you know, the scores would go down. I mean,
I remember when I interviewed Tony Pearson. Tony had a great vacuum pose too.
Great vacuum.
He was talking about Zane, and he said the thing that people don't realize about Zane when he does that pose, he's tensing everything else while he's pulling his stomach in, and he goes, "That's what makes that that pose so hard."
That's right. That's very true. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and Frank also, if I remember correctly, we were talking one day, Frank, and Frank said to me, "This years ago when he was competing, he was telling me how all the guys always relax their legs too much on stage."
Yeah.
And no matter how cut your legs are, if you completely relax them, they're going to look smooth, even though they look muscular when you flex them. And, you know, you're standing in the lineup, the judges are looking at you, and they're going to, like, you know, it's almost like they say the last impression is the one that remains. You know, if you're standing in the lineup and your legs are relaxed and you walk off, they're going to remember the smooth legs. So even when you pose, they still have you in the back of their mind like you're smooth because you didn't have cuts in your legs.
Yeah.
So as a consequence, he always remembered, if you look at Zane, his legs were always flexed.
Yeah.
It reminds me of what you just said about Tony, about saying how he always was flexed. His legs, he never relaxed them. Never.
Yeah.
You'll never see a photo of Zane standing there with his legs.
That's completely true.
Never see it.
Yeah.
Never. And I remembered that, and you know, because you know, I hadn't even thought about that myself. Because my legs are pretty cut back then. I said, well, you know, I'm gonna take Frank's name. And I used to keep my legs flexed the whole time. But one time, we caught up in one show. I think the prejudging was going on too long. And I actually I didn't take diuretics. But, you know, you're always a little dehydrated when you go to competition. And unfortunately, the thing went on for like 2 hours. And I started to get leg cramps from keeping my legs constantly flexed.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it happened first in my leg bicep.
Right.
And I was doing the guys do now. You see when they bend over?
Yeah.
I had to do that too.
Yeah.
You know, thank God for me, it disappeared. It wasn't a serious thing. And after that, I just was able to lightly flex my legs because I was really flexing them hard.
Yeah.
That's what made me say. I should have just flexed them lightly. But after that, I kept just lightly, just enough to show some definition.
Hmm.
And it worked out there, you know, after that.
Yeah, I remember how sore my legs used to get after a contest.
Oh, yeah, all that flexing.
All that flexing, yeah.
Yeah, flexing really hard. You know what I mean? It's almost like a workout.
Yeah, it is.
You know, in fact, I came across a study. I'm probably going to write about it in my Applied Metabolics. It's where they talked about how, you know, how the guys, like they'll flex in between sets. You know, all of us have done that. You know, you're training your bicep and you go like this, you know,
yeah,
and you're looking.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, testing to see whether it actually helps muscle growth to do that.
Yeah.
In other words, you do a regular weight set, and then you'll either maybe a latch pose or you flex your bicep or something, flex your legs. They tested to see what, and you know the funny thing is, it actually does help your muscle growth.
Wow.
That kind of surprised me. I would never have imagined that just flexing between sets could make your muscle help your muscles grow.
Right.
But it does. It does.
Arnold used to do that all the time.
Yeah, but you know what it is? It has to do with the tension on the muscles.
Yeah.
See, muscles grow because of what they call time under tension. And the more tension you keep on the muscles, the more they respond for some reason. Yeah. So even with weight in your hands, if you're flexing hard enough to cause muscle tension, the muscle interprets that as work.
Yeah, yeah.
So you end up actually growing. I don't think it would work to me now, but maybe years ago, you know. Yeah. Now I never flex. I don't want to see what I look like. I don't want to get discouraged, you know. So I never look at myself in the mirror.
Jerry, that time under tension, explain that. How does that affect the muscle fibers? Does that affect certain muscle fibers, like the fast twitch, slow twitch, or what's the whole theory behind that?
Here's the way it works. You have what they call an orderly recruitment of, it's called Henneman's principle, where the way the muscle is recruited, it starts with the slow twitch fibers, and then it gradually goes into the fast twitch fibers.
Okay.
And for years, they thought, I'm sure you're aware of this, that only the fast twitch fibers hypertrophy, particularly the type 2 B fibers. The type 2A were kind of intermediate. They had some of the characteristics of strength and a little bit of endurance, right? But in other words, the more time that the muscles kept under tension, the greater the recruitment of the deeper muscle fibers. See what I'm saying? In other words, if you, let's say, do a set like this and where there's no tension, you're not going to actually, get any, very few of the fast twitch fibers are going to be involved. You might get some slow twitch fibers just from, because of the fast movement.
Right.
But the more time under tension, the greater the recruitment of the deeper fibers. And the theory is the greater the muscle hypertrophy. That's the theory behind it. Yeah.
So if you do a set, they always say like 6 to 12 reps is the best rep range, right? So if you're doing like a weight where you can reach failure at 6 to 12 reps and you go to total failure, then you're hitting those 2B muscle fibers and you're reaching all the muscle fibers in that muscle, right?
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, that's the entire principle of this, I don't know if you want to call it a technique. I think we talked about this before. A couple of years ago, they were trying to figure out a way to have older people who are frail. They wanted to have them do some resistance exercise, but these people couldn't even lift a 2-pound dumbbell.
Right.
And they couldn't do a single leg extension. How are we going to get these people to work out? So they came up with the idea of having them use very light weights. I'm talking like 20 to 30% of one rep maximum. John, that's a warm-up weight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to warm up,
not
right?
Not even, yeah.
It would be like I do now when I warm up my bicep, I'm using 15-pound dumbbells, But so the point is, so they had them do that. But here's the trick. They had them do the exercise higher reps, 25 to 30 reps, to complete failure, even the older people. Of course, it took a while to adjust the weight so they got the right weight.
Okay.
But the fun thing was, these people made muscle size gains. They actually made muscle size gains. And when the scientists looked at it closer, maybe they put an electromyograph machine, whatever, they began to realize that if you do lighter weight but you do higher reps to failure, past a certain point, you involve all the muscle fibers. Because the earlier reps knock out the slow twitch. As the set goes on, let's say by the 20th rep, now you're getting in the type 2A fibers. If you get all the way to, let's say, 25, 30, now you've actually tapped into the 2B. Mm. So you're hitting the same fibers you hit. I know this sounds hard to believe, as lifting 90% of one rep. It's just heavy weight. So they said, okay, well, this works for older people, but it probably won't work for young guys who still have strength. They still have neuromuscular ability. It probably won't work. They tried it with them, same result. Hmm. They compared one group that used 90% of one rep max. The other group did, they need a little more heavier weight. They did 40% of one rep max because 20-30 wasn't enough. So they had to do 40% of one rep max. They did 25 to 30 reps to failure compared to 90% one rep. They both made exactly the same muscle gain. These guys were in their 20s. In their 20s.
Hmm.
I took that to heart, When I saw that, I was having trouble with my legs because of my knees. I couldn't train heavy anymore,
Right.
So I'm going to do that for my legs and see what happens. So when I train my legs, I do, sure enough, you can't do many sets like this. After the third or fourth set, your legs are dead if you do a train like this.
Right.
So I do let's say leg presses, I'll do three sets of 25 to 30 reps. By the 19th rep, I'm ready to stop. I mean, the legs, but I push all the way to, let's say, 25, and I've been training my legs like this. And the funny thing is, I'm not going to say the legs got big again, But I stopped losing size. I was losing a lot of size until I did that. I completely stopped. I retained all the muscle size, and that's the way I still train my legs like that. And let me tell you, it's hard. It's hard when you do that. I mean, you know, you're because you sort of. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I go to complete failure because, you know, when you're by yourself, like in this little gym I'm training, I can't do leg presses to fail. I'll be stuck in the freaking machine.
Right.
They'll find my body. What did this guy do, you know?
Right.
So I stopped just short of failure. Okay. Just short of failure. And the good news about that is they came out with some studies of guys over 40. And they found if you do any exercise, even if you don't do the system about higher reps, any exercise, if you stop just short of failure and you're over 40, you get the same benefit as going to complete muscle failure. Same exact benefit. You do not need to go to complete muscle failure.
Now, what about thickening up the muscle fibers? Does that happen more with heavier weights?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, it's funny because you say they did a study about that too.
Okay.
And they found that definitely the heavyweights did have a more thickening. And the other thing that's important to remember about this is that using this lightweight system of higher reps to failure does not increase muscle strength.
Right.
It can increase muscle size. The only way, they've shown this in study after study, the only way to also increase muscle strength, there's no way around it, you've got to lift heavy because – again, to get those last group of muscle fibers, the type 2, apparently you still have to, you know, to increase the strength. It has to do with, like, neuromuscular adaptation, too.
Yeah.
You got to lift way around it. You got to lift heavy weight. No way around it.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast about bodybuilding. I think it was John Meadows, who's a real famous trainer.
Right, I know him, yeah.
And he was talking about now these people are stuck at home, so they're using bands and stuff. And they were saying, how can you have an effective band workout?
I watched one of his videos. His was one of the first videos I watched.
Okay.
Because in his video, he had the bands like I had with no door anchor, and he was showing exercise to do it. I said, son of a bitch, I even wrote under his video. I said, John, this is a great video because you show how people how to use the bands who have no other equipment.
Right.
I said, congratulations, excellent video. I mean, I one of the exercises I remember, maybe you've done this exercise. It's called the Bulgarian split squat. Have you ever done that? It's like a one-legged lunge squat.
Yeah.
He showed how to do it by holding bands under your feet, and I did it right out here on a step. I elevated my back leg.
Okay.
I thought it would be such an easy exercise. Oh, my God, was that hard. I was literally going, I was straining to do it with a little band on my leg.
Right.
I did three sets like that, and afterwards, when I stood up, John, I swear, I felt like I did 10 sets of 20 rep squats. Man, that is intense on your legs. Oh yeah. My! I mean, I told this to a friend of mine the other day. The really interesting thing about this quarantine training, if you want to call it, is I've had to be innovative and come up with exercises that I've never done in my life, or like the one-legged calf raises that I did 40 years ago.
Right.
And you know what it's done? It's made me enjoy training for the first time in like 20 years. I'm not saying I hate to train, but to me, it's almost like a job. I do it. You know, I love to get the pump, like, you know, and all that.
Right.
But now I look forward. To me, it's like the height of the day to go and train.
Right.
I say, go to the gym and say, let's see, what exercise
coming up with stuff, right.
Like, you know, so I'm doing all these exercises I've never done before. And it's all psychological, but it keeps workouts really fresh. This is something, again, I didn't anticipate.
Right.
You know.
So, that's what he was saying. He was saying if you got the bands, you have to go to failure in order to get those 2B muscle fibers.
That's true.
But I think he was talking to Fuad Abiad on Fuad's show. I think it's called This Is Bodybuilding. And they were saying, I think they both agreed that you got to train heavier to get the more size. Even though you're getting you know, all the recruitment of the fibers. But he was saying with the bands, because there's no resistance, you got to go, if you got to do 30 reps, you got to go to that 30 rep just to get all the fibers activated.
I found that to be true, too. I always, with the bands, I always do, I do minimal 15 rep, minimal.
Yeah.
And I try to do 20. I aim for 20, be honest with you. Those bands, after about the 15th rep, they feel like they weigh 1,000 pounds. I can barely move them,
yeah.
Which is something, again, I didn't expect. And I'm talking about the lighter bands. Forget the big ones.
Yeah.
The big ones, I can't even move an inch. I mean, right. It's supposed to be only 100-pound resistance. Feels like 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
I tried to do squats with the big band, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get up from the bottom position, and that's crazy.
Wow.
Because at the time I use a machine, squat machine. I use like 275. It's not really 275 equal of a free weight, but still with the band, 100-pound band, I could not get up from the floor. I mean, I couldn't even, was a one squat with it.
Yeah.
So the band's definitely different type of resistance. But I have a beef with some of the people. You know, I'm not trying to cast aspersions, of course, but there's a guy named you might have seen him. This guy does a lot of videos with the band exercises. If you mention his name, I'll recognize him. In fact, I bought these bands from him.
Okay.
This is what, because I watched about 10 of his videos before I got the bands because I wanted to learn how to use them. You know, what exercises can you do? But he had one of his videos. He was talking about why bands are superior to free weights and machines. He says that he hasn't lifted weights in 3 years. He's done only the bands and the you know, he was talking about all the stuff that other people are talking about, like the time of detention. You know, the metabolic stress, all the factors that cause muscle hypertrophy or growth. But he talked about how the bands have resistance that never, how and Arthur Jones would say that, how in some positions,
yeah.
constant
tension.
Right, you know what I'm saying? The bands have constant total resistance. That is not true. I found in certain positions, like when the bands are stretched, there's great resistance, but when you go back, you go back, there's no resistance.
Yeah.
Unless you flex the muscle hard, which I learned to do.
Yeah.
In other words, like when you're going in the back position, you can't relax. You gotta keep that muscle tensed. Otherwise, there's no resistance at all.
Right.
So this guy bold-faced lied. He looked into the camera and lied. Again, I'm not trying to get in arguments with this guy or anything, but I after using the resistance bands, I realized, I'm not saying they're bad. The truth of the matter is, I didn't like the resistance bands when I first got them because I wasn't used to them. I'm used to weights.
Yeah, yeah.
They just did not feel like weights. I felt like I was lifting rubber bands, you know?
Yeah,
they just,
right.
And I'm thinking to myself, this stuff is garbage. I've wasted $127 on this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to admit, after I tried it, after about a week, I started to get used to it. I began to like kind of position my body in a way that the resistance would be greatest. My body wasn't positioned right, so I wasn't really getting the proper resistance. But once I learned how to do that, I actually started to like the bands. Now, what I'm saying about them now, well, I'll compare bands to when people ask me about fat burner supplements. They say, Jerry, should I get a fat burner supplement? Will it help me lose fat? And my answer is always this. The fat burner supplements are adjunctive aids to dieting and exercise, meaning they'll give you a little bit more of an edge. But if you take them alone without diet and exercise, you'll get nothing out of them at all.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying about the bands. My opinion about the bands now is they're great if used in conjunction with some other form of resistance, whether it's weights, barbell, dumbbell, pulley device, machines, whatever. When you use together, because the bands do apply a certain type of resistance that you really can't get with the weights in certain exercises. But alone, they do not replace weights. I'm sorry, I totally disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, I saw another video, and I don't know how I came across this. It was on YouTube, and I guess this guy's done several videos. His whole philosophy is you do not have to lift heavy to get big. And he said you can use light weights and just pump, get the volume up. He talks about getting the volume up, and he said it increases protein synthesis. It makes your muscles just as big as if you lift weights. Now that flies totally in contrast to, like, you talk to Dorian Yates, you talk to Kevin Lavrone, you talk to all these huge bodybuilders, they all got that way by lifting heavy weights.
Well, again, there was a study on that too, John. They compared, they decided to compare the system I did talked about earlier, where you do lightweight, let's say lightweight to failure, or close to failure, and they compared that to doing the same exercises, same weight, but not to failure, just high reps. That system produced no muscle gains at all. None.
Okay.
Nothing.
Because you're not going to failure.
Right. Nothing. Not even the slow twitch. Then nothing happened. It burned calories. That was about it.
Yeah.
But the group that went to failure still made muscle gain. So that confirms what you're saying. In other words, if this guy's telling people to just lift light weights, not go to failure, not use a certain level of intensity, that's ridiculous. That's not going to produce muscle. That's totally, you know.
But if you used light weights and went to failure compared to where you're only doing like 6 to 12 reps failure because you're using heavier weights, which would be best for building muscle size?
I would still go with the weights.
Yeah,
because why? Because with the weights, you're going to build strength. You're not going to get that with the
light
weights.
Plus you're thickening up the muscle fibers too, right?
You're thickening up the muscle fibers. There'll always be better results. You know, and their researchers would argue with me because they still stand on the idea that you can get just as much muscle size using the lightweight to failure as you can heavyweight. I'm sorry, John. You know, you and I have been around a long time.
Yeah.
I've been training a half a century. I know you've been training a long time, too.
40 years, yeah.
My experience tells me no. You cannot get, you know,
right.
There's no substitute. If you really want real thick muscle, big muscle, and years and years, thousands, countless champion bodybuilders
right.
have proved
that. Right, just right. Out.
There's no way around it. I'm sorry. I mean, right. it's great for guys like me or all the people that can't lift heavy weights anymore. It's nice to know that we can keep the muscle size with this system. But if I was a younger guy who still didn't have these injuries and stuff, I'd still be lifting the heavy weights to gain muscle. I would not do the what I'm saying is I would not do the high rep system to fat. I'd still go with the heavier weights.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw an interview with Dorian, and he said exactly that. He goes, you have to lift the heaviest weight possible for the right amount of repetitions. You know, he's not talking 1 to 2 reps. He's talking 6 to 10, 6 to 12 reps.
That's true. I totally agree. I think there's no way. My experience, again, if I wasn't older, how long have I been training? I have 58 years.
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, all those years of training tells me there is no way around that. No way. I've never seen anyone get big lifting light weights, like just, you know, going through the motions. And I've never seen a single person get big that way.
No.
Not one.
Now, I've got a friend who's a couple years older than me, and all he does in his workouts is he uses light weights and goes for a pump, you know. And he says it's because of a safety thing. And he's warning me all the time. He's like, John, you're 57 now. He goes, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. He goes, you shouldn't really lift heavy. But I still feel good. I like lifting heavy, you know, for like 6 to 10 reps. Yeah. Like last night I was doing T-bar rows, and I was using, I think, 260 pounds, you know, for like 6 reps. It was heavy, but I liked it. You know, I feel like I get a much better workout that way. And he's like, he goes, no, you can get the same results just going light and getting a pump. But I think as long as I can lift heavy, I'm going to lift heavy. I'm safe. I do it safely. I'm not doing something I can't handle. I'm not trying to push it too much. You know, I'm doing whatever I can handle it, you know, within my limitations, you know.
I agree with you. As long as it feels comfortable to you and you're not, and the key point being you're not getting injuries, I say go for it.
Yeah, me
too. Now, on the other hand, let's say you were doing that 260-pound rows and, you know, you keep getting injuries. That's your signal that I can't do this anymore. But since you say you're okay, I don't see anything wrong with it because you know, there's no way around it, John. You are working the muscle harder with the heavier weight.
Right.
I don't care what anyone says.
I agree.
You know, I mean, some of the things, I mean, I write on science all the time, but some of these things I look at and I just shake my head. I said, it's obvious these guys have never been in a gym with
right.
the right. I mean, I know so that they're so wrong of what they, you know, it just, I mean, like, well, talk about diet. Like, one of my beefs is when these, a lot of these, researchers or whatever you want to call them, the PhD, they talk about how insulin doesn't make you fat. In other words, you can't get fat. In other words, carbohydrates, well, let me put it another way. No amount of carbohydrates can make you fat. Bullshit! Are you kidding me?
I know that's wrong.
Carbohydrates are the only thing that makes me fat.
Right, and, right.
You can say, well, wait a minute, Jerry, maybe they're talking about the refined carbohydrate. You know, without, yes, those do make you fat. But if I eat enough of even the natural carbohydrate,
right.
In other words, if I followed like my good friend Jay Cutler, he told me once that he was eating up to 1,000 grams a day of carbs up to a contest. If I did that, and I said this to him, Jay, if I did that, I would look like the fucking Michelin man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a single cut in my body.
Right.
I said, you obviously have a different metabolism. I mean, you're obviously a bit much, you're
right.
more muscle than I ever had.
Right.
But that's besides the point. The point is that, you know, carbohydrates, you know, especially if you have insulin problems to begin with, I don't care what anyone says. And how do you explain the fact that I have tried every diet known to mankind over the years? The only diet that I consistently lost a lot of body fat on has been low carb diet. The only diet. Why? How do they explain? Oh, they say, well, it's the calories. Really? I've gone on low calorie diets, and I'm not going to say I didn't lose any weight or fat, but first of all, I was voraciously hungry. It was hard for me to stay on the diet, and the weight loss came so freaking slow that I was able to stay on because I had no motivation. Low carb diet, after the first week, I know the first week is a lot of water loss.
Yeah.
After I see the fat coming off me week after week.
Right.
And when I say that to them, they have no explanation for that. They just don't say anything.
And that's because of the insulin mostly, right?
Right, exactly. So this is where a situation where they can present science, and I'm disagreeing with it because there's other factors involved that haven't been discovered yet.
Yeah.
Like they discovered just the other day, they discovered a certain enzyme. I think it was an animal study where basically if it's turned off, you know, all you do is turn off this one enzyme, and the animals start to lose body fat no matter what they eat. They can throw a ton of fat on them. They burn body fat like crazy. Maybe there's something like that involved. I don't know. You know, because theoretically what they're saying is true, you know, with the calories and the insulin and this and that. You know, theoretically, insulin should not make you fat unless you have an excess of calories.
Right.
But my point is that if your body tends to over-secrete insulin, like you're insulin insensitive, like you're pre-diabetic, every carb you eat, you're going to have an overshoot of insulin.
Right.
And what does insulin do? It's known to either maintain or promote body fat accretion. So even if you don't get new body fat, it's going to help maintain the fat you have.
Right.
It's going to make it harder to lose body fat.
Right.
You know, and they will agree with that. And then they'll say, but insulin still doesn't make it. So I walk away after that. So I feel like I'm hitting my head. It doesn't make sense.
All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank again Jerry Branum for coming on the show. We'll have part two of our interview with Jerry next week, where we talk a little bit more about the most iconic bodybuilding photos in the world. I want to thank my sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, and I want to thank all our Patreon sponsors. If you're interested in contributing to the show and helping us out, just go to bodybuildinglegendsshow.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, we have our Patreon link, and I thank you guys for considering that. Sure to check out my YouTube page under my name, John Hansen. I'll be having our interview with our John Hansen Fitness Challenge winner, Paul Aliota, this week on YouTube. So check that out. And we also got Robert Nalon hopefully coming on pretty soon. He's the iconic photographer from Australia that knew Arnold back in the 70s. So hopefully we'll have Robert on the show pretty soon. All right, that's it for the show. Take care, everybody. Be safe, and we'll see you guys next week.